From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for being with us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once more to open the New Testament at the Gospels to show the Gospel's portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's message will emphasize particularly the touch of the Lord Jesus and how much indeed many of us, many of you listening to me even now, sorely need the touch of the Master's hand. Stay with us as we look into the Word of God together. But first, our hot topic for today, priests on a crime spree. A 79-year-old Roman Catholic priest, Monsignor John Skehan, is in custody on a $400,000 bond after police arrested him on charges that over four decades he stole $8.6 million from the offerings and gifts that were made to St. Vincent Ferrer Catholic Church in Delray Beach, Florida. According to the police, Skehan used the money to purchase property and other private assets. He wasn't alone in his crime. His successor in the parish, the Reverend Francis Guinan, evidently liked Skehan's idea of fleecing the sheep. According to the police, he carried on the grand theft, taking money to finance gambling trips to Las Vegas and the Bahamas. He also needed the money to keep his mistress in the style to which he had accustomed her when he pastored in St. Patrick's Catholic Church, where she was the bookkeeper. The last I read, Guinan was on the run from the police. Those priests certainly had expensive tastes, and they didn't care how they financed them. Theirs is a sordid story of greed and lust. I'd be interested to see how much play the secular press gives to it. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has reported the story, but it will be interesting to see if the media give it the same kind of coverage that they often give to the crimes of certain Protestant ministers. There is, unfortunately, nothing new in the crime of these two priests. The Lord Jesus warned of false shepherds, men who would set themselves up as guardians of people's souls, while they really are their destroyers. There are many whom the Scriptures term grievous wolves, who roam free under the cover of being Christian ministers. Ezekiel chapter 34 gives a detailed description of such false shepherds. They care nothing for the souls of men and live only for themselves. Their flocks exist only to be fleeced so as to satisfy their false pastor's love for money and what it can buy. No church has a monopoly on hypocrites. They can be found almost everywhere. And it's good when they're exposed and expelled. The existence of these rotten apples should alert us to be wise. Three words of warning. First, don't make the mistake of painting all pastors with the same brush, as if to say, they're all the same, all they're interested in is the money. You know that is not true. Second, don't make the mistake of thinking that it can't happen in your church. Wise pastors will keep themselves pure and will make sure that their churches are run efficiently with policies of transparent honesty and integrity. Money and morals are two areas in which ministers can afford no scandal. And finally, don't make the mistake of thinking that if your pastor is not guilty of stealing your money, he must be okay. Remember that pastors who do not preach the gospel in all its purity are doing a lot worse than stealing your money. They're attempting to damn your souls. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and we come to you on this station at this time each day, Monday through Friday. We're glad to have you listening in. In each broadcast, we mention our website to you, and I trust that you will go along there and see if there's something that may be of interest. If you'd like to download a program, hear again one of the sermons, check out again one of the radio commentaries, or browse our web store, you'll find much there to interest you. The website is Let the Bible Speak Radio. The word radio is important here. LetTheBibleSpeakRadio.com. I trust that you'll go along and see something that will be a blessing to you. You can be in touch with us in one of three ways. You may mail us, email us, or telephone us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us at 1-866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We'd count it a privilege to hear from you.
There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me up. Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me when I knew him, but he sought me and in love divine he ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor sinner living from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story shouting, Jesus ransomed me.
And now it's time to turn back to the Gospels as we continue our study of the life of Christ, thinking upon the Gospels' pen picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
There's no portrait of Christ, but there are some fascinating insights. You take your New Testament, read through the Gospels. Read the Gospels. And the next time you read through the Gospels, read to Luke just to see what do they tell us of the Lord Jesus. And you'll see that they present him as tender and loving. He's called a shepherd. In other times, he's, John 1 for example, he's called a lamb. He says, I am meek and lowly of heart. He's selfless in the service of God and man. Unlike John the Baptist, he was sociable. So much so that they called him a reveler, a wine-bibber. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they condemned him for that. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. He was not a reveler, but he was a sociable man. When he was invited to the house of his enemies, the Pharisees, even when he knew they were there just to find fault with him, when he was invited, he went. He didn't take any insult when they didn't even provide the common courtesies of the day and provide a basin of water to wash away the dust from his feet. He went. But when he was invited to a feast among publicans and sinners, he went, knowing full well that it was going to bring upon him the scathing wrath of the self-righteous Pharisees. He was sociable, always accessible to the needy. Not just to the inquisitive. King Herod longed to see him. Jesus would not indulge his desire. And when finally he did get to see him, the Lord Jesus would not speak so much as a single word. And there was Herod practically foaming at the mouth to hear something from Christ and to see him do some miracle. And Jesus stood as still and as silent and as inaccessible as a marble statue. But to the poor and the needy, he was always accessible. His patience never seemed to run out with the crowd. And when the disciples had had enough, he sent them on and said, you go on your way to the other side. I will send the people away. How long it took, we don't know, before he was able to withdraw into the mountainside to meet with God. Sociable, but sensitive. Sensitive to the needs of men and women. At the same time, and this is a balance that you'll not readily see, even in the best of his followers, he was lofty and meditative, a man of the secret place with God. How often you read of the Lord Jesus, after a long day, an arduous time, going along by himself, get into the mountain, to spend the long night hours alone with his Father. There was a time, one occasion, I'm not going to deal with it today, we'll maybe get to it in due course. It was a time when he was walking along with his disciples, and the description would give you the impression that Christ was so, even in the midst of society, he was so taken up in the heavenlies with his Father that I would imagine from the description that he walked away ahead of them. They were left behind, and there he was, even on a journey, alone with God. A mind imbued with the knowledge of God. A humble and holy one, so that even his enemies could find no fault, and even the devil said, we know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Majestic, for he was called the King of Israel. And mysterious, for he was called the Son of God. Zealous and jealous for the glory of his Father. uniquely powerful, the master of every circumstance, wise in every situation, Lord over all he encountered, Lord of the Sabbath, Lord over sickness, Lord over Satan, Lord over sinners, and Lord over the saints. All powerful. And yet, serene, serene amid the storm, asleep in the boat in the midst of a mighty gale, when seasoned seamen were frightened for their lives. And equally serene with little children lying in his arms. And on the other hand, filled with righteous fury against the apostasy that was strangling Israel, and especially against the religious leaders who made a fat but useless living out of the proceeds of their dead religion. You could go on forever giving details of the insights the Gospels give us into the ministry and the person of the Lord Jesus. But in setting forth this picture, the Gospel narratives draw particular attention to three features: his hands, his eyes, and to some extent, his voice. His hands. You can't read the Gospels without being touched, and I use the word deliberately, by Christ, the tender touch of Christ. We read that he touched the eyes of the blind. He put his finger in the ear of the deaf. He laid his hands upon the sick. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, we read of him in Nazareth. He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk. In Luke 4, verse 10, we read, they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So, as you read the Gospels, you read of him touching the leper. Matthew 8. Now stop and think for a minute. Remember the Old Testament law? When anything or anyone was defiled, that defilement defiled anybody else who touched it. That was the Old Testament law. In Old Testament times and in the times of Christ, a leper had to veil his face and cry, unclean. So that clean, that is ceremonially, religiously clean people, would not come nigh and be defiled. You daren't touch a leper. First, because you would be morally or spiritually defiled. Second, because unlike the disease we call leprosy today, which is not even a first cousin of the biblical disease called leprosy, this was highly contagious. In the Old Testament you'll read how it could even get into the walls of the house in which the leper was living. Anyone there would never touch a leper. The leper was the ultimate outcast. But Jesus touched the leper. Thank God there is no outcast so outcast as to be beyond the touch of the Son of God. He touched the leper. We read of him taking a blind man by the hand, leading him out of the town and putting his hands upon him to give him his sight. You see the triple touch. He didn't say, there is a place, go to it. He could have left it to his friends to take. No, he took him by the hand. Now remember the mood of the crowd. On these occasions you find it in the case of blind Bartimaeus, for example. When the blind were incessantly crying, have mercy on me and give me sight. The seeing were saying, be quiet. He's too busy for people like you. He has greater things to do. But the Lord Jesus always had the time, and thank God He always had the touch. Took him by the hand, led him out of the town, put his hands on him, gave him sight. He's still doing the same work today. You sit blind in sin, shivering in the rags of worldliness or self-righteousness, a heartbeat away from destruction. What other hand can touch you to drive away the blindness and let you see as you ought to see? To see the way forward, to see the way through, to see the way to heaven, to see the glory of God, to see your sin and God's answer for it. He touches the blind eyes. Similarly, He took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand. There she was lying, sick. How sick? I don't know. I think it had to be more than a sniffle. The Lord Jesus didn't waste His time on things that were bogus illnesses. Where no other physician could help. He came. He took her by the hand. Raised her up. He put His fingers into the ear and touched the tongue of the man who was afflicted with deafness and the impediment of speech. He stopped a funeral procession outside the town of Nain. He put His hand upon the bier, upon the coffin. He raised the dead. He went into the home of Jairus. He found his little daughter, 12 years old, lying dead upon the bed. And He who could simply have spoken the word, as He did later in John 11, He reached over, again against all Jewish ceremonial law, and He took her by the hand. He took her by the hand. He raised her to life in Himself. There's not a soul among us this morning but that needs to meet with the Christ of a tender touch. We live in a rough world. We live in a cruel age. We are our own worst enemies. Some of you are sitting, enemies of God, dead in sin, making your own case worse with every step you take. You may be here this morning, crushed in heart, despondent in mind, broken in dreams, guilty in soul, and a heartbeat away from a lost eternity. Thank God there is a Savior who can touch the dead and raise them to life. Touch your deaf ears and make you hear the music of the gospel. Hear music in a message that you never thought would be of any interest to you. Touch your eyes to open them to behold the beauty that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, for the touch of the Lord. God's people need that touch. We come to church this morning with many a grief, many a heartache, many a trouble. Oh, for the touch of the Master's hand.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America.
I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.